Hello, this is Daryl War yet again, and welcome to the 9th podcast, or at least the intro, for the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows. So weird how all this came about, huh? One would think someone would have done it sooner, because when you think about Dark Shadows, the program and the fandom in itself is fan fiction altogether, just taking a bunch of old gothic books and making this huge series, incorporating almost all of them. Ad nauseum. So here we are, and it likely makes sense that there is some providential factor pushing me so hard. The sign I have for this episode is really weird, and will likely turn on the ears of the Ghost and Mrs. Muir fans more than anyone else. I'd been writing it and was wondering if it was time for the captain to take his leave, so I began writing it that way. Now, it had been a warm day last September 2013. The back door was open to let in the air as the sun was setting. Night fell. Not one cloud in the sky. And as I was writing this possible farewell, there was a crash of thunder. Whoa. Okay. That's odd. Looked outside. Still, clear sky. No clouds. Not one. I went back to writing the possible farewell, and there was another crash of thunder. This kept on for about 10 minutes, and I am not kidding. Really, I'm not. I heaved a sigh, started deleting some text, and then looked up and said aloud, "All right, Captain, I can take a hint." As you likely know by now, the ghost of Captain Greg has some stormy powers. But as I called out to him with that pronouncement, do you know what happened? The thunder stopped. Not one more ripple of it occurred. Now, if that doesn't scare you, I don't know what will. Certainly scared me, and still does. You can probably hear that in my voice. It was very strange. And you are more than welcome to be cozy in the belief that it was a coincidence, like my spouse does. But thank heavens my mother-in-law was not so cozy in that thought of it being a coincidence when I explained it to her. This is why I've poured my heart out in my text. I have been looking for more feedback, but I don't think I'm going to be so desirous of it now. I'm getting the feeling that the fans who really enjoy this are very introverted, and if they ever knew how to talk to me, what with the new device technology, they've likely forgotten how to do that. The only trouble with that is my searching out other writers rather than readers or listeners. It's really hard on us to be the only support of this creative material just toward each other. We all have these different universes we're creating, so the dialogue can get really fragmented, especially when we're in our tortured artist Sam Evans phases. Then you're going to catch one of us at the wrong time, and it's not pretty. So far it seems to work out, but it's not exactly healthy. Plus, you likely realize I'm not in the best social zone either, and I think if I got that healthy human stimulus, I could finally get into a better sleep schedule. Yes, all the way back to October 2013, and I'm still not sleeping well. I don't mind all the weight loss. I'd actually like to lose some more pounds. But not sleeping's not fun. It's not fun. Still, the nice thing is I can flip on the show now and let myself sort of relax, depending on what scenes I get to see. Man, those early days. I must retract my low-budget analysis. I think I hit viewing that set of the program when it wasn't so ornate. A lot of, you know, like, you see the old house, and there's just, it's sort of like a bunch of stuff thrown together. Of course, they changed it when, I guess, something happened with the set. I remember hearing that they tore it down, and they had to put it back together. They had to recreate it, which was a marvelous, I mean, it looked a lot better the second time around. If you remember the old fireplace, and then they had to redo the fireplace, and it's like, where was Willie during all of this? You know, maybe Wadsworth did step in and have some people organize the refurnishing of the old house, the way it kind of got prettier in the wallpaper. sort of got, you know, it all got, and Willie wasn't there at the time, so it's like, Wadsworth must have been there, you know, he must have been floating around there somewhere, putting the wallpaper up, or having, ordering somebody else to do it, you know, hiring some guy, or people. So I retract my low budget analysis there. But I'm looking over the early days now, and boy, is Roger high strung. I felt like he was babbling into the telephone far too quickly for there to actually be conversation on the other end in this one episode. And Victoria sort of interrupting him. I can't remember what it is. And there's this basement thing going on. And I'm like, wow, I haven't seen this basement before. And so Victoria's like, you know, Mr. Collins or whatever she calls him. And he's just like, da-da-da-da-da. And he's like, he's saying it so fast. He's talking to the telephone so quickly, like just spitting out his lines and babbling them, and it's like, I don't think that the person on the other end could have spoken that fast to you, Roger. And I have this feeling that Alexandra Mulcahy was just going, Louis, you're, and you know, Roger's just like, what is it? I'm on the phone, Victoria. And it feels a little bit like the actress playing Victoria Winters is like, Louis, you're doing your lines too fast. I have to tell you, stop that, slow it down. You know, I know you're supposed to be agitated, but we're not going to cut to commercial for a few more minutes now. You know, just so you have, that's the funny thing about Dark Shadows is that you have these scenes where you really feel like there is both the characters and the actors in tandem with what's going on in the story and what's going on the set. Of course, that is very likely, but it's almost like they are these dual personalities struggling together to work things out in Collinwood, which is funny. It's like you call, that's why I always make jokes about like, this is the new house or the newer house or the main house or what Willie said once, the big house. If anybody's seen DS Annotations, it's just really funny. I think the lass who put that together, she, what's going on, Willie? Thinking about when you were in jail or something. I don't remember what it was, but yeah, it would be nice if there was actually a house name and it wasn't just Collinwood, because when you think of Collinwood, you kind of think of the estate too. So it's almost like New York, New York or something like that. Like some other place with like dual names where you're like, are you talking about the city or the state? Or are you talking about that area or, you know, like a county? You know, like if there's a name of a city, but the county is the same name, then you get really confused, like, which one are you talking about? That's kind of how Collinwood seems to work. And as for seeing Bill Malloy, wow. I've been having so much trouble sleeping that I'll start to nod off, but not really get to sleep, if you know what I mean. So there I am with the whole Burke storyline and everyone talking about him. It's like another pen pal of mine said, I'm tired of everyone talking about Burke. I'm even having dreams about it. And I think, wow, now I know. Burke, Burke, Burke. Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. Then I was asked about the next storyline, and I said, yes, Roger's car accident. I've seen it in so much glowing detail of everyone discussing it that I want to choke. So as a result, more Burke Devlin stuff comes about, and that's when my eyelids droop, and I start to drift away, just floating off into another semi-conscious state. And then what happens? Bill Malloy steps in, and I wake up. Thanks, Bill. Plus, if you've seen the early episodes, that bit with the diagram of the car engine and the bleeder valve, I really got this feeling like I was suddenly watching PBS. It was like 3-2-1 contact or something. I think Bill Malloy is the teaching element of the DS world. Man, there is almost nothing more inspiring to my project than sitting down to some blasted Dark Shadows, zoning out, zoning in, taking notes, and then finally thinking, okay, there's something else to add, and there's yet another thing I have to fix. And not just to make better, but to fill in plot holes, because there are a lot. I'm starting to understand how Willie Loomis feels with all those jigsaw puzzles at Wyndcliff. What a big mess. Now, I do realize that the idea that Lily Munster is going to show up in all her extreme looks isn't exactly a convincing idea. so I didn't put her into the mix that way. You see, with her history, it was easier to speculate that there might be this less cartoony version of her that our Collins family may have witnessed. So when she does arrive at Collinwood, well, the reaction will be interesting to say the least. Now that Roger is starting to kick back and enjoy himself, at last, he'll take it more or less in stride. But Elizabeth? Well, I'll hold off on her reaction. That's why this telephone conversation between the two works, because she's not seeing Cousin Lily. She's only talking to her. And we do have Grandpa, of course. Hope that impression is good enough. It's pretty fun thinking of two more vampires in the family, and that they have no qualms about it. It's just business as usual for them. One could easily have both the Addams family and the Munsters being aware of Collinwood and giving it a sort of raised eyebrow or an aloof consideration. I think from where those two families stand, they're just not seeing what the big deal is, or why their Collins relation should take everything so seriously. Also, there is a made-up character I hadn't planned to formulate at all, Mildred Mayhem. She just started coming out more and more as this village gossip who knew a bunch of things. I'm thinking of having her related to another peripheral character from 1795, but I haven't made up my mind about it yet. This is why her last name is actually a faux one. Mayhem coming from her having a market on all the gossip in town. But she doesn't really compete with Mr. Wells for all of that. As it turns out, they're rather friendly with each other in later episodes. Now, as for my dabbling into Edgar Allan Poe, you'll notice a certain iconic figure coming up here. I wasn't sure what he represented at first, but now I'm rather certain. Also, you'll notice another old ghost popping up. I think that's why, with so many people being a reincarnation here, Burke Devlin passing away would be important to keep from the original series. One of the two actors who played Burke Devlin also played Jeremiah Collins. So with Burke's demise, this could be the spirit of him, with much more knowledge than he had passing away before. And I do understand that it's a little odd for all of these ghosts to float around while their reincarnations are walking the ground, but with what I've delved into as far as spirituality, as well as how the ghosts operate on Dark Shadows, it's not too big of a stretch. As Sir Simon Milligan says, in the freakish Collinsport soul, these personalities splinter.
It happens.
I think that's why when I saw all of the explorations between Maggie Evans and Josette Dupré, especially after looking through Kitty Soames' history, yeesh, I thought, okay, this is doable, and, as it turns out, very durable as well. I almost didn't catch Kitty Soames, but something led me to finding out about her before completing a certain episode. And she's in the 1897 realm of Dark Shadows, if you're wondering. The main elements I see with using her are episodes 870, 871, I think there's 884 through 886, and that really will tell you everything if you go through those. I mean, it seems like it's not that much, but there is quite a bit of stuff that they pursued with Kitty Soames, aka Lady Hampshire. I'm not really with the Rachel Drummond thing at all so far. I'm like, okay, maybe there was a reincarnation, but you've got two women played by the same actress in the same time period. So Rachel, I don't really, and maybe a possession sort of floating around, but not, she, oh, her and Tim, oh gosh, they hurt our heads here. They're just so manipulated and it just hurts. It's just really painful because they're just so gullible and it doesn't even rend our hearts. It just makes us roll our eyes. Which is really sad because we're pretty kind out here. So I went through the Kitty Soames stuff. I found out some stuff about her before I got to that episode where I had to include her persona just a little bit somewhere in there. And again, what made all of this come about escapes me. I just hope I finish this project or at least get close before I'm 40. Oh, and as for all the details Tony and Carolyn go into when Sam asks them about their date, those are actually true. Just like my experience with the game of cribbage, the last time I went to a drive-in movie theater, all of those things the couple mentions is what I witnessed when I was there. Drive in the Woods I just made up, as I couldn't find much in the way of movie theaters for Collinsport. I just named it that simply from some skits I got to see called Shakespeare in the Woods. But yes, all of those distractions for a drive-in movie theater. A lot easier to talk about than being lip-locked for hours, among other things. If anyone remembers a lovely evening with a consensual companion, they likely know, yes, in all the delights of passion, however innocent, distractions do abound. And a nice little segment here, kind of works for both of the couples we're focused on right now. It's got that 60s allure, however modern a production. Hey, who says Maine doesn't have the best coast? Enjoy.